Hello and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. My name is Keith Crosby. I'm your host. If you're joining us for the first time today, this is a podcast where we look at this world around us and the culture through the lens of scripture, that is to say, a biblical worldview. In today's podcast, we talk about protecting your children from predators. Now, predators come in all shapes and sizes and in all eras of life, and we will talk through each life stage. Looking to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 11:4 and in Matthew 4:1 through 11 and 1 Peter 5:1, we're told variously that Satan appears as an angel of light who could deceive even the elect if that were possible. We are told that like him, his servants can appear as agents of righteousness. And we're also reminded that Satan is like a roaring lion looking for someone whom he might devour. And that spells trouble. Trouble for the family, trouble for your children, trouble for you as parents, as you seek to raise up your children in the nature and admonition of the Lord and protect them from the wiles of the devil. Not to sound too dramatic or over the top. The reality is, however, the dangers are real, and we'll talk about them now. Perhaps the most vulnerable among us are infants and small children. That includes little girls and guys, let's say up to the age of 9 or 10. As the saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In our own family, we basically didn't allow for a lot of babysitting in the early years. We had moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, to California, and we didn't know anybody out here, and so therefore, we spent a lot of time with our children until we got to develop a community of very trusted people, and then we only very selectively allowed anyone to babysit our children. Why is that? Well, children are defenseless, and so you leave an infant with somebody you don't know, no matter how highly recommended, and that's a problem. You have to accept that this is a life stage where you're not going to be doing a lot of socializing. It doesn't mean date nights aren't possible, but they become few and far between unless you have a reliable group of couples that you know very, very well. And I do mean very, very well within the church family, known to you and others, perhaps the elders of your church and the pastors. The other precaution that we took, you could go online eventually and look at Megan's list and see all the predators that were in your neighborhood. That gave you a sense at least of who or what you were dealing with. And frankly, you sized up people. I know I did. Of course, there are social media searches and things like that. You do whatever you can, access whatever database you can to protect your children. Because the damage that a predator can do is lifelong. I know my older brother, who's deceased, was molested by an adult in our neighborhood, and it bent him, leading to a premature death from alcoholism, promiscuity, and AIDS. And sadly, we did not find out until almost the end of his life that this had happened. He kept it to himself. Which brings me to another line of defense, and that is schooling your children from an early age. This involves a couple of preemptive measures. The first, of course, is developing a rapport at the earliest age possible where they can communicate with you and you can communicate with them, and doing so without terrifying them. How do you do that? I used to do it kind of as a game. I would come up to my girls and say, "You want to hear something crazy?" And I'd make a big over-the-top statement and roll my eyes and smile. And they'd say, "Sure, Daddy, tell us something crazy." And I'd say, "You know what? One day, you may have a friend or even an adult may tell you that there are some things you just can't tell your mommy and daddy. Some secrets you just have to keep between them and you, or your parents won't love you, or your parents will get upset with you." And I'd say, "Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard?" And they'd say, "Oh, Daddy, that is crazy." To which I would say, "Yeah, because you know there's nothing that you could do or say or anything like that that would make mommy and daddy not love you. So you know that's crazy. So don't ever believe that. They don't know what they're talking about." And they'd say, "Oh no, Daddy, we know that. We know that." So what have I done? I've inoculated them from threats or deceptions from adults or even some of their peers that they can't trust their parents and that their parents' love is in any way conditional. Now, is that foolproof? Absolutely not, but it is a countermeasure. The other thing I would do is tell them, you know, there might be some bad people or even adults that you thought were good people that turned out to be bad who might tell you, if you tell your parents, they'll hurt you or hurt your parents. And I want you to know, they can't hurt me because I'm big and strong. I'm your daddy and I will protect you. Now, it didn't hurt that I was over 6'3 and over 200 pounds. And to a small child, I look like a giant. But the point is, you are inoculating them against threats. Is this foolproof? Absolutely not. But it is a countermeasure, a worthwhile investment. These action steps or strategies or tactics, whatever you want to call them, would be followed up with periodic maintenance. I'd say, hey, did anybody ever tell you anything crazy like we talked about? Have you been told by an adult or a friend or anybody that there's this secret between you and them that you can't trust mommy and daddy with, or that mommy and daddy won't love you? Mercifully, the answer was always no. Then I'd ask, again, you do it in a way that doesn't create fear in them. Has anyone done anything to you or threatened to do anything to us or hurt you or hurt us in any way that you're trying to protect mommy and daddy? Because, you know, mommy and daddy are big and strong. The answer was always no. Thank God. And as my children are now in their 20s and 30s, that has served us well, it seems. But that said, you have got to behave toward your children in a way that reinforces the fact that they can trust you, that you're not impulsive, that you're not hot-headed, and that they have no reason to fear telling you even the hard things. And let me tell you, this is an investment for the future, because as they grow and mature, you can have difficult, hard, candid conversations with them built on trust, mutual respect, and safety in a way that brings good to them and glorifies God. I'm not going to deceive you. I'm not going to lie to you. This requires spiritual growth, constant spiritual growth and sanctification on your part, because the complexities and the challenges will grow over time. And are they going to rebel from time to time? Perhaps. But you've got to be the one that models Christ. You've got to be the one that is a shepherd. You've got to be the one that they trust. You've got to be the expert on life. Now, this brings us to the next phase of predator. We move from so-called child molesters to a different type of predator. There was an old saying in the business world, when I was in the business world, an expert is somebody from out of town. You cannot raise your children in a Christian bubble. They will have to be exposed to the world in some way. And sometimes you may have them at a Christian school. They may be in a public school. These are decisions that you've got to make and choices that you've actually got to carefully evaluate. For a variety of reasons, we chose to homeschool our children, but we did not raise them in a Christian bubble. They were exposed to the arts, theater, things like that. They were not of the world, but they were in the world. That said, the primary disciplers were us. The church was a welcome complement to that, but we took responsibility for training up our children. Why is that? Because if you don't deal with the hard issues with your children, if you don't talk to them about life, if you don't do the Deuteronomy 6 thing, they're going to learn from other people. If you avoid topics, the first person to broach that topic with them becomes their expert and authority, and you want to be that expert and authority. So you've got to have a plan. You also have to realize that your children may not be saved. You have to realize that their friends aren't saved, even their church friends. And so you have to be ready to tackle issues as they come up. The best way to do that is preemptively, because you don't want your children socialized by little pagans who are their age who don't know as much as they do or know less. I mentioned homeschool a moment ago. Today, Christian schools come in two varieties, those which have Christian education and those which are Christian in name, but they take anybody, Christian or non-Christian, in the name of evangelism. And so they really become sort of stable public schools. But all the ideologies of the world are present because they bring in unbelieving children and their parents, and you better believe they have an influence. Such schools also typically aren't as careful with their curriculum because they're trying to be broad. So now you have to be mindful of what is being taught in class, mindful of what they're hearing from their friends. And that's why I say every parent is a homeschooler, because you've got to ask your children, what are you learning in school? And you have to talk about it. You have to say, oh, no, that's not right. This isn't what we believe, and here's why, or this is what the Bible says, Christian school or not. As far as public schools, I have to say that today in California, there's no way I would put my child in a public school under any circumstances. If I could not afford to homeschool, if I could not find a decent private school, it might be time to move to a different city or a different area. But understand this, between the National Association of Educators, the California Teachers Association, and all the teachers unions, here in California, your children are going to be subject to predators who are in authority over the classroom and the school. And we like to believe that our favorite teacher is not part of the system. If they are in the system, they are part of the system. And sooner or later, they need to make a choice, because really, education in California is all about indoctrination. It's about gender identity. It's about all these terrible things that we're trying to protect our children from. And it's about predators, because there are predators there. They're just predators of a different kind that appear maybe to your child as an angel of light. No matter how nice they are teaching a devilish curriculum. They are required to, or they will lose their jobs sooner or later. That goes from the teacher in the classroom to the counselor. Your child may be called by another name and you wouldn't know about it, and they wouldn't tell you because of gender identity concerns and things like that. You can no longer trust the system. And so therefore, you've got to be checking your child no matter how young or old they are. They're a teenager. No, they are not equipped to deal with this kind of deception, this type of indoctrination, this type of peer pressure. And don't kid yourself that moving to Texas or Tennessee or Georgia or Idaho is going to change anything. There is a federal system in place that's the Department of Education. And no matter where you go, I mean, some places are worse than others, but you will not escape this type of indoctrination in a government school, a public school system, and of course, not a university. So that system you invested in when they were little, tiny little kids has to be maintained and developed over time to adjust to the situation and to adjust to the levels of predation. Because sooner or later, they're going to face this type of predation, whether it's from a professor in a classroom, a teacher's aides, or just the people they go to college with. And let's talk about college. Often parents are concerned about finding the university that is just right for their children. And that's a commendable desire, but here's the deal. Find two or three colleges or universities, then look for good churches in the area, and the one that has the best church, choose that one. Have your child get involved in the local church. Campus organizations like CRU or InterVarsity are not churches, and CRU is completely unreliable today. They have taken a dark turn. So don't assume because they're involved in a campus organization that has a Christian name that there aren't predators there when the organization is becoming the predator. CRU is the old Campus Crusade for Christ. Let's talk about Christian colleges. Just because it has Christian on the label doesn't mean it's Christian. And more, Christian colleges sometimes are more dangerous than public schools. Why? Why would a Christian university be more dangerous than a secular university? Because you think people are Christian. And so your son or daughter lets his or her guard down, and little heresies are introduced along the way. Little doubts are created and nurtured. I've seen this at too many so-called Christian institutions. At least at a secular institution, your son or daughter may have their guard up. Now, that said, there are many fine Christian institutions you can go to, and there is no guarantee of perfect safety anywhere, but you want to take every precaution that you possibly can. In 15 or 20 minutes, I can't cover everything. I can give you a good start. Let me sort of wrap up by giving you some additional tips or practical things that you can do to protect your children from all kinds of predators in all kinds of places, regardless of their age. Logistically, you always want to check the social media of those who are influencing your children. Sunday school teachers, school teachers, schools, alumni associations at Christian high schools, whatever it is, go to your school's webpage, secular or sacred. Be active in the so-called Parent Teachers Association, or whatever form it takes. Whenever you can, try to eyeball the classroom to see what's on the walls. A lot of times you'll come into a classroom and there's nothing on the wall. That's just as bad a sign. It doesn't mean that the teacher is lazy. It means they may have scrubbed the classroom of all ideological indoctrination because parents are going to come. Try to get a tour of the school library if you can. See what books are in there. See what books they're recommending to your children. Look up the school librarian on social media. If you can't afford to go to Christian private school and you have to use a government school and you can't homeschool, try a hybrid or satellite setup where you sort of have the best of both worlds. At least that way you can moderate the effect of the culture. and the system on your children. Above all, make your position clear as a parent to the educators involved in your student's life. But be careful. Remember that you represent Christ. So don't act like a nut. Don't act like some right-wing wacko. Don't talk about YouTube videos that you've seen. Just let them know what you believe in a very nice, non-threatening way, and that you want your children to be opted out of any kind of gender education or indoctrination as you perceive it. Be clear, but be kind, be cordial, be professional. And above all, be vigilant, be on guard, because your enemy, the devil, or his surrogates are looking for someone to devour, and they come in all shapes and sizes. So you've got to maintain your vigilance, not let your guard down. Love your children, love the Lord, love life. Don't be paranoid, but be on guard. Well, I think that's enough for today. Thanks for joining us. I hope this was in some way helpful and encouraging, perhaps enlightening. If you have any questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com, keithcrosby@yahoo.com. Don't forget to like us on whatever podcast platform you're in. Subscribe, share us with your friends, help us to grow this podcast. This is Keith Crosby signing off, saying may God bless you and God keep you.